Almighty God, by the birth of your holy child Jesus, you sent a great light into our darkness. You have given the most excellent of Christmas gifts, love for all people. This morning we receive your gift of love, unwrapped and shining like the light of a new dawn. May the gift of your Son, God's love, come to earth, fill our hearts and souls. Amen. Please be seated.
Isn't it amazing how quickly it becomes, well, this is the way we always do it. Isn't it just amazing? Thank you so much for your patience as we do things a little bit different on this Sunday. Merry Christmas. We are in the midst of a Christmas celebration, and while the pine needles might be getting a little bit dry on the tree, and you may have taken advantage of the warm weather on Friday to take down your decorations outside. Anyone do that? Yeah, a few people did. For those of you who, you know, you may have said yes to the last of the company and you're vacuuming up the crumbs and stuffing the recycle fuller than it can possibly be. And it seems like it's the end. In the tradition of the church, we continue to celebrate Christmas. And I'm so blessed that I've been able to just witness Jesus Christ moving incarnate in the flesh in this last week. And I thought of a couple of examples in preparing to talk with you this morning. I thought about my niece, Carly, who is 7. I mentioned on Christmas Eve, she's like a hockey player. She's a tough one. She broke her arm last week. And so, I mean, she was like moving around swinging that cast and you had to duck. You know, it was a... She's just all out, and it was just wonderful to spend a few days with the family, and especially with her, and experience the joy of a child at Christmas time. That wonder and excitement as relatives pass through, and of course gifts come her way, and the joy that comes with that. I've also been touched by a number of other things. On Thursday, I presided at a funeral for Gary Goodenow's, a memorial service. Gary was a member of this church. He'd been here a couple of years, and he was brought in to the church by the Men with Tools group on Tuesday morning, who welcomed him and welcomed his skills that he had in building. And he was just a good, solid, faithful man. And I really saw Christ speak in John Park. John is a retired United Methodist pastor who's part of our congregation. And John was the best man at Gary's wedding, and Gary was the best man at his wedding. And so he talked about Gary, and he just talked about it, and it was so touching. Because I believe that when deep love is spoken or shown, that Christ is present. I saw Christ present in service. We talk about the many, many people that were at our Christmas Eve services. And one of the things that amazed me is on Christmas Eve, starting with a 3 o'clock service at Wilmore Lake and ending with an 11 o'clock worship service here, so many people gave of their time. Musicians, worship leaders, techs at the tech board. I just want to just recognize some of those. If you volunteered as an usher, a greeter, a musician, or a tech on Christmas Eve, you just want to stand so we can just say thank you to all of those who gave of their service. Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much. So, there are many more, and I'll just tell you one more thing that was, I really saw Christ's presence in faithfulness this week. I had an opportunity as a favor to another pastor to visit his mom, and she's in respite care, and she was not able to move very much or to speak, and so I said, well, how do I visit? So I decided I would sing Christmas carols. I started to sing Christmas carols, and she started to mouth along. So I sang the first verse, second verse of a number of Christmas carols, and then I moved on to the hymns of the faith in the garden. How great thou art, blessed assurance, and she was right with me. And we ended with the Lord's Prayer, and she was right with me. And I just think there is something that can anchor our entire lives, the entire breadth and span of our lives in faithfulness by the grace of Jesus Christ. And so this last week has truly, truly been a blessing. And I think part of it is that I have been conscious in watching for Jesus Christ, Christ in the flesh. Now, I want to just take a few moments. You're going to hear a few scriptures today. I'm going to read one. Bob's going to read a couple of them. And they're about people watching. And so I want to introduce to you just the first one. And this comes from Isaiah 61 and then into chapter 62. What happened was 700 years before Jesus was even born, people were watching and waiting. They were leaning into a Savior who would come. Isaiah was there telling them from the very beginning, the people of Israel, that what they knew was going to fall apart, that many of them would be taken into exile, into a foreign land, into Babylon. And when they were, Isaiah's prophetic voice continued to tell them to keep watch and to keep waiting, because a Savior would come and all things would change. And what the language that he used was, he talked about Jerusalem, the great religious center for the Jewish people. And he said, Jerusalem will change by the grace of a Savior. And this is the way he said, and I'm going to be reading from the Message translation. I will sing for joy in God, explode in praise from deep in my soul. He dressed me up in a suit of salvation. He outfitted me in a robe of righteousness as a bridegroom who puts on a tuxedo and a bride a jeweled tiara. For as the earth bursts with spring wildflowers and as a garden cascades with blossoms, so the Master God brings righteousness into full bloom and puts praise on display before the nations. Regarding Zion, this is Jerusalem, I can't keep my mouth shut. Regarding Jerusalem, I can't hold my tongue until her righteousness blazes down like the sun and her salvation flames up like a torch. Foreign countries will see your righteousness and world leaders your glory. You'll get a brand new name straight from the mouth of God. You'll be a stunning crown in the palm of God's hand, a jeweled gold cup held high in the hand of your God. No more will anyone call you rejected. And your country will no more be called ruined. You will be called my delight, and your land, Beulah, married. Because God delights in you, and your land will be like a wedding celebration. For as a young man marries his bride, so your builder marries you. And as a bridegroom is happy in his bride, so your God is happy with you. We watch and we wait.
Today's scripture reading is Galatians 4, 4 through 7. But when the set time had fully come, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship. Because you are his sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but God's child. And since you are his child, God has also made you an heir. Word of God, people of God.
So from Isaiah's time and even before that, people were looking for a king. They were leaning in. Looking. Now, some were looking for an avenging king because even though the people were able to return from exile in Babylon and begin to rebuild the temple, there were other invading forces. The Greeks came in, took over for a time. And by Jesus' time, it was the Romans who were in charge. And there were people who looked to the prophets and said, eventually someone will come that will save us and will take back the land that is ours. There were others who looked at the prophets and saw a song for the Prince of Peace. and knew that eventually there would be some kind of ruler that would bring peace. Now, the understanding at that time would be that peace would come by might, that someone would be strong enough to stop the invasions and stop the warring so that people might live in peace. And while they may not have longed for the Savior as the Savior came, certainly there were people, much like ourselves, who on a daily basis had longings, desires, and dreams. A dream for purpose in life, a desire that children grow up happy and healthy, a hope that there might be a day when there are no more tears or sorrow, that those who are oppressed might be set free, and that people would be made whole. Imagine the hope that sprung in people when they started to hear rumors that the Savior had come. For some, it was disbelief because they couldn't understand how the Savior would come in a form that they had not expected. But for some, especially those who were on the margins, the outsiders, for those who were looking for kindness and compassion and peace, to hear of a Savior who came in humility, even a Savior born in extraordinary circumstances in the humility of a stable. To hear of a Savior who was raised in Nazareth, just a normal child, not in some grand palace. And to begin to hear stories, maybe even hear in person, about this one who talked of the Son of Man and the kingdom of God coming near. This one who taught compassion, who taught meekness over war, who taught love over hate, who lived it out, and in the end, for the sake of all the world, gave his life so that we would not know death, but we would be raised to new life by belief in him. When you think about it, it is a story that is hard to believe, but on the darkest of days, when sorrow does seem to push in and our hopes and yearnings are at their strongest, it is a story that it is hard not to believe, because God came in the flesh, incarnate. This is what Jesus said in Matthew 11. He said, "Come to me, all that you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest." When the Galatian church was established by the Apostle Paul, he wanted to give them words of encouragement. He wanted them to know the great gift that they had been given and that their yearning was over. And so he gave them the surprising news that this Son of God had been born, and because of it, people who believed became full heirs to the Father in heaven. Now, this is just kind of crazy because you would think if there's someone who is the Prince of Peace and the King of Kings and the everlasting Lord, that deity would rule over everyone. But what Paul said is that you are no longer a slave, you are set free. You can stand with dignity, and you are an heir to all the good gifts of God. The people leaned forward, searching for a Savior, and got a Savior beyond what they could possibly imagine. I'm going to invite you now into a time of prayer. And I'm thinking we're gonna kind of look back over 2018. We're going to look forward into 2019 a little bit. So I invite you into that time. Lord, we can't remember everything about the year unless we have our planner or phone in front of us. But you know about this year that is ending. And so as we go through the months, we give you thanks for the gifts, and we hand to you our sorrows and our burdens. For the winter of 2018, January and February and March. For spring and all of its promise, April, May, June. For the joys that came our way this summer, family and reunions, celebrations, even for all that work we had to do in the yard or on the house. July, August. Give you thanks for all of the joys that we anticipate in the fall, whether it's to do with school or the changing weather or more football. I give you thanks for September and October and November. And for this joyous of months, this busiest of months, this most distracted of months, centered on your birth, we give you thanks for December. And now, Lord, as we move ahead, keep us leaning forward, ever watchful, ever, ever watchful for you in the flesh incarnate, you present in the love of family, you present in the movement of peace and justice in this world, you present in acts of humility and service. We pray that your spirit might move in powerful ways as nations bump up against other nations, as leaders make decisions that involve the least of their citizens. We ask, Lord, that in the changing times ahead, whether it is our change or a change that is world-changing, that in all of it, your spirit might preside and we might see you and celebrate you moving in this world. And Lord, for the places where we have not yet been set free from our burdens, from worry, from regret, from resentment, from anger, that you might just lift us a little closer to you. Lord, we long to be set free, and we know you're the Savior, the Prince of Peace, everlasting. And not only do you walk among us, you desire to be around us, and we are so humbled and thankful. And now, Lord, we offer to you, in this transition between 2 years, we offer to you our personal silent prayer. Lord, we praise you and are here today because of your Son, Jesus, and we pray this prayer that he has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Today's scripture reading is from Luke 2. 22 through 40. So hang in there with me. When the time came for the purification rites required by the law of Moses, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Penuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. When Joseph and Mary had done everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth, and the child grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was on him. The word of God for the people of God.
Thank you, Bob. Just want to say a few words about this. So the custom was that after the male child was circumcised, then there had to be a purification rite. And how nice that they were just so close. They were in Bethlehem. They were close enough to Jerusalem. They could travel there, and they could have this rite, this ritual, take place in the temple. And when they got there, they were seen by two people. Now imagine, if you could, devoting your life to watching for the Messiah. Devoting your life to watching for the Messiah. There are a couple of things that strike me in this passage that I just want to share with you. And one of them is that there seems to be little surprise that for both Simeon, who takes the child in his arms and also speaks, and for Anna, who doesn't have a voice, but we hear that she tells all the people of the child around her, that both of them are not surprised when they see this baby and recognize in the baby the Savior of the world. Now, they should have been. There maybe were a few hints in Old Testament prophecy, but for the most part, what they should have been looking for is a grand procession of royalty. And if it was a child, it would be a child wrapped in expensive clothes, a child that wouldn't give some paltry sacrifice, but would give something grand for this child. But I believe that the reason that they were not surprised is because of the intensity with which they watched. They had no idea how God would come. They simply knew that God would break in, and they were ready. They were ready to recognize it and to give praise to God. Now, the second thing that interests me is Simeon's response to Mary, which, if you can imagine holding your brand new child, and if things aren't difficult enough being far from home and not being connected at all, this is what Simeon says. This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed and a sword will pierce your own soul too. Well, thank you, Simeon. There is this darkness even in the midst of the light. This truth-telling in the midst of the welcoming of a Savior. That it will not be easy, and yet this child has come for the salvation of all people. It's interesting that Mary might have been looking as much for the hardship as she was for this salvation that would come. But in either case, God was present and God was moving. What would it be like if each of us decided in 2019 to just keep watch? Just keep watch and recognize God's presence. There are some ways that we can do that. You can kind of temper your heart and your watching ability with regular prayer, kind of opens you with worship, with Bible reading, with hanging out with Christian friends and having good spiritual conversations. It kind of opens you to God's movement. But I would also add that it is a state of mind. It's a watchfulness that has been around for centuries. It's what the people in exile in Babylon did. They watched. They watched in faithfulness for the king who would save them. It's what the people did on those shepherds on the night that Jesus was born. They were watching, and they found the reign of God in Jesus. And it was Simeon and Anna, faithfully open day and night and watching for God. And it was this church, even in Galatia, who had been looking for salvation, a people who were seeking to be set free, to have meaning and purpose in their lives, and they found it in the Word of God. If there's anything I think that would shift our understanding of this coming year, would shift the way we approach our problems and our joys, would be to be a watchful people. So I invite you to be Simeon. I invite you to be Anna and to keep watch, because God, through the power of Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, is breaking through all the time. And just as each of us have witnessed Christ in some way in the flesh in the blessings of this week, God continues to break through, and we will see Jesus. Amen.